taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study, where we read, we study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free, and I am glad you could join me today. You know, if we look at the Declaration of Independence, it says that people create governments to protect their rights. We didn't create the government to feed us, care for us, protect us, kiss our boo-boos, or make sure that we are all happy and have everything we want. The purpose of government, we created governments to protect our rights. Now, the question is, well, is that the priority of the government in Washington, D.C.? Well, how can we tell? Well, let me ask you a question. How can you tell when a politician is lying? Yeah, I can almost hear the roar coming up. Their lips are moving, or some variation thereof. So it's obvious we cannot trust what politicians say to determine what their priorities are. We really must look at what politicians do. So let's take some time today and look at what the priorities are of Washington, D.C., based on what they've been doing recently. And I'm going to start with the Supreme Court. Why? Because I deal with Supreme Court opinions quite a bit. It's part of the job. And as you all know, that Justice Breyer is retiring, and President Joe Biden has chosen a nominee, has nominated someone to fill that position, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. Now, I am not familiar yet with this woman's judicial history. I've heard some people make some comments, but I want to look into her history, but that's not my point here. You see, Judge Jackson got this position because she's a black woman. Now, I have no problem with a black woman holding a seat in the Supreme Court. Doesn't bother me one little bit. But there's always going to be that asterisk next to her name. There's always going to be the question, was she the best qualified applicant? Was she the best qualified person? Or was she the best qualified black woman? See, I look at this and it tells me about the priorities of Washington, D.C. Those priorities are racist and sexist. You see, Joe Biden admitted publicly and repeatedly that he was less concerned about the qualifications of the candidate and more concerned about the color of their skin. Now, again, I don't hold any animosity to Ms. Jackson. In fact, in some ways, I almost feel for her, because if she is a good jurist, and I'm not saying she is, I haven't done my due diligence on that yet, but if she's a good jurist, if she ends up on the Supreme Court, well, her opinions and her dissents will probably always carry the question mark, is it because she was black? Is it because she was a woman? So we see now that Washington, D.C. is both racist and misogynist. Misogynist, Paul, he's giving a woman a chance. Yeah, because apparently in the mind of Joe Biden, a black woman couldn't get this job unless they were singled out. That a Ms. Jackson could not get this job, except he was only going to pick a black woman. See, they think they're helping women, but really what they're saying is, we don't think women can do it without help. Now, I'm not saying this is solely President Biden. This is many politicians in both parties. But if you sit back and look at what happened objectively. It tells me that high up in the political process in Washington, D.C., their priorities are racist and sexist. They're going to judge people based on the color of their skin and their gender first. Their qualifications come later. Now, this kind of bounces off or relates to another article I saw that, again, makes my point. See, I saw this article in the Daily Wire, and there is current training going through federal agencies. Many federal agencies are using this training. And according to the report, saying that one is colorblind to the race, to someone's race, is itself racist. So let me get this correct. If you judge people by the color of your skin, they're not racist. But if you decide not to judge people by the color of the skin, you're racist. Tell me this isn't newspeak. Tell me this isn't bizarro world where everything is opposite, where left is right, up is down. But from this Daily Wire, they actually looked at it in a Washington Examiner report. And they revealed that this federal diversity program, basically, they're promoting the same concepts as critical race theory. And even certain things referred to as microaggressions that, you know, people might find offensive. Now, in general, I do agree that we should be considerate of other people's opinions. I mean, I was raised that way, but not at the expense of truth. So according to the report, in this program that your federal tax dollars are used to train federal employees, there's one chart where a white man is shown saying he is colorblind, and the black woman beside him takes it as an insult that somehow the white man is denying her race or her culture. It's one thing to say you don't exist because of the colors. It's quite another to say, I don't see you as a black person. I see you as a person. But this is the training that federal employees are going through. They're literally being trained to judge people by the color of their skin. Now, having grown up in the 60s and 70s in New York City, when I moved upstate when I was older, we didn't see too much of it. But when I lived in the city, there was racism. You know, but the interesting thing was, most of the children weren't racist. We didn't care. We didn't care the color of the kid's skin. Did they play fair on the playground? That's really all we cared about. But I also remember the words of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, who dreamt of a day when his children would be judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. Yet here, today, saying you do not judge someone by the color of their skin is considered racist. And that is the priority that Washington, D.C. is training their employees. They're using your money to train your employees to judge people by the color of their skin or by their gender. Now, is that protecting your rights? Well, what are some of the other priorities in Washington? You know, having helped several young couples that were considering getting married or early married and trying to work all that out, and you know, a lot of times you're dealing with, well, what are their priorities? What are their focuses? And whether you're helping people with finances or marriage or relationships, one of the things you want to find out is, what are their priorities? What do they, the two ways to do that is to find out where they spend their time and where they spend their money. If you want to know what's important to a person, find out where they spend their time on and find out what they spend their money on. Okay, what does this have to do with the priorities of Washington? Well, the House of Representatives is working on a funding bill. That's nothing new. They spend a lot of time working on how to spend your money. how to collect your money, how to spend your money. But here's what's interesting. The House of Representatives plans to include in this funding bill to send aid to Ukraine. I said, Paul, what does this have to do? Well, hang on a second. Now, again, I think the Ukrainians have been invaded by Russia. I don't know all of the details that are going on. I don't know all the background. I don't know all the history. What I do know is that your representatives are putting together a bill that will spend money to fund Ukrainians to protect their border while they're denying spending money to protect ours. Where are their priorities? Now, is it the right thing to do to help the Ukrainians defend their border? That's an entirely different question. It is the question I'm really not prepared in detail to get into right now, but I want to compare the priorities of refusing to spend money to protect our own border while spending money to protect the border of another country. What are their priorities? Now, I'm not naive enough to believe it's a simple, we hate America, but we love Ukraine. I understand it's not that. It's a part of it is a humanitarian desire. You see somebody being picked on by somebody bigger. You want to come to their aid. I understand that. You see a smaller country being overrun by a larger country. You want to help them. I understand that. And I have no problem with that as long as it's done within the constitutional realm. I mean, there's ways to do that. But aren't these the same people that are going to spend, apparently trying to appropriate $10 billion for humanitarian, military, and economic aid for Ukraine that keep defunding every attempt to defend our own border? What are their priorities? At least the American people should stop and think about that for a minute. What is your representative's record on? What are they voting for? So if they're voting to protect Ukraine's border but not America's border, what are their priorities? And are they the priorities that accurately represent you and your neighbors? And if they don't accurately represent you and your neighbors, what are you going to do about it? There's another place you can look at for priorities. Senator Blackburn and Representative Tenney have introduced a joint resolution to ask the Biden administration to remove Russia from the UN Security Council. All right, now I want to roll this back because I find this interesting. Again, we're looking at what are these people's priorities. We have, my first reaction to this is incredulity. Why? Well, according to the press release, the Russian government is likely killing innocent Ukrainian civilians or committing war crimes. They have a whole litany of things of how terrible Russia is, how terrible Moscow is, how terrible Putin is. Therefore, the Senate and the House think they should do a joint resolution to tell Biden to get Russia out of the Security Council. Now, I know a little bit about the United Nations. The United Nations, by treaty, has a Security Council. This is a limited number of countries that are meant to deal with security issues. It's one of the primary diplomatic bodies in the United Nations. And it is created by treaty. And in that treaty, there are five countries that are permanent members: United States, Russia, the UK, China, and France. But stop and think about this for just a second here. So Senator Blackburn and Representative Tenney think that Rush has been such a bad actor, they need to be, they should be removed from the UN Security Council. Just what do they expect President Biden to do? Maybe I'm wrong, but I was pretty sure that Russia is a permanent member of the Security Council by treaty, meaning that the only way to change it is to change the treaty and get the other members to sign on to it. Did she really expect President Biden to do that? And what are the priorities here? And I'm picking on Senator Blackburn because she's the senator from Tennessee. She's one of our senators. She represents my state. And she, rather than saying, you know what, as a member of the Senate, which would ratify any treaty that would come along, it's with the advice and consent of the Senate that treaties are signed and approved in this country. Rather than saying, hey, Senate, how about we advise the president that we want to change the UN treaty in order to remove Russia from the permanent, as a permanent member of the Security Council because of their bad actions. No. She says, we're going to ask President Biden to do it. Which tells me a couple things. One, it tells me this is show. This is theater. I'm sorry, this is nothing more than theater. Look how tough we are. We're going to ask the president to kick Putin out of the Security Council. This is window dressing. But it also gives me something else. See, as a senator, she is part of a body that is supposed to advise a president on treaties. This isn't the Senate advising the president. This is a joint resolution. It's like, okay, we'll get the Senate and we'll get the House and we'll get them to tell the president that we would like you to do this. Why doesn't the Senate just pass legislation, pass their own resolution that says it is their advice that any future negotiations on the UN treaty must involve the removal of Russia from as a permanent member from the Security Council. This is weak. Which is why I know this is only for show. If Senator Blackburn really wanted to do something, the Senate would pass a resolution requiring saying it is their advice to the president that any future negotiations on UN-based treaties involve the removal as permanent member of Russia from the Security Council. That'd be constitutional. But you see, they want to be seen to look tough. They want to look like Popeye. But they don't want to actually take any chances. If she's all this upset about what the Russians are doing in Ukraine, why isn't she sponsoring any legislation that actually does something? All she's done is, hey, we're going to have a joint resolution. Why don't you actually do something, Senator Blackburn? Why don't you actually stand up, submit some legislation that would actually do something to hurt, to punish Russia for their incursion? What could she do? Well, how about lifting the moratorium on the Keystone XL pipeline? How about lifting sanctions or lifting the restrictions on drilling and fracking right here in the United States? You want to take money out of Putin's pocket? Drive the price of oil down. Give people a place to buy oil other than Russia. How about we turn around and tell Europe, hey, you worried about Russia and what they're doing? If you stop buying Russian oil, America will supply it. We'll supply it with American oil at the fair market value that you were getting from Russia. That would be something she could do. She could introduce legislation to do that, couldn't she? No. It tells me that her priority is to look tough, but not actually be tough. And while you're at it, Senator Blackburn, remember, it is Congress that has the power to punish offenses against the laws of nations, the law of nations, not the president. It's not the president's job to do that. You set the laws. Why don't you start working on actual laws that will do something? No. If we look at not what she says, but what she does, this is about show. It's about looking tough, not being tough. So what have we learned so far about the priorities of those in Washington, D.C.? Well, we've learned that they're interested in protecting your rights as long as they can use it to advance their own agenda. We've learned that they will defend the rights and honor of those that they can use to promote themselves. That'll help get them elected or pander to their base. We've learned that they're willing to spend money, well, as long as it advances some political agenda for themselves. They'll place their image on the world stage above the safety and duty to the people they have sworn an oath to support, to the Constitution they support, to support, and the people they supposedly represent. We've also learned that they will say what they think will, well, show them in the best light. That will help people realize why they should vote for them and keep them in the job they've become so accustomed to. See, we've learned that for most in Washington, D.C., the most important priority of all is themselves. So rather like Narcissus staring into his reflection, they see everything before them in the way it can reflect best on them. Now, I'm not saying we don't all do this to a certain extent from time to time, but it seems in politics, especially at the national level, it's been raised to a higher art form. The idea that the priorities of the people in Washington, D.C. bear any resemblance to the priorities of the people in the country is laughable. Possibly you might find it in certain areas of the coast or certain large cities, but for the most part, Washington, D.C. may as well be another world where the people matter less than their impact on their servants. It is a truly inverted worldview, and it is a truly expected one. If Lord Acton was correct, and power corrupts, and absolute power tends to corrupt absolutely, we see the logical conclusion of a powerful system. You see, the more power was centralized in Washington, the more it would draw people that were interested in power. And as those people assumed positions in that government, well, they did everything they could to draw more power to them, thereby making it even more tempting to those who were seeking power. And in a vicious positive feedback loop, we see Washington, D.C. becoming the swamp it is now known for. Maybe it's apropos that the city of Washington, D.C., I believe, was built on a swamp. I believe our founding fathers intentionally built it on a swamp, figuring nobody would want to spend their entire life there. The summers would be abysmally hot and humid. It'd be riddled with insects. It'd be a thoroughly unpleasant place to be. Well, unless you're interested in assuming power and prestige, then Washington, D.C. has become the absolute best place to be, if that is your priority. Now, I have to head out for a break, but before I do, I want to remind you to head over to HealthyCell.com. Check out all of their products. They have reinvented the vitamin. They're designed to boost your immune system, help you sleep better, help you focus better, help you live a better life. And don't deal with the pills. You can just take this. Well, it's easy to travel gel pack. Now, they have lots of different formulas that you may use depending on what your needs are. Oh, for example, I'm going to be on the road in a little while, and one of the things I know when I travel is I sometimes have a hard time sleeping. In fact, I almost always have a hard time sleeping. So I make sure to pack REM sleep with me whenever I'm on the road so that I can take it. It helps me get drowsy, fall asleep, and stay asleep so I can wake up feeling healthy, feeling refreshed, and ready to attack the day. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you get 20% off your first order. All you have to do is use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So go to HealthyCell.com, find any of their products that you're interested in, and then go when you check out, use the code OUTLOUD to get 20% off. Now, if you're interested in supporting others that are interested in supporting the Constitution, may I make a recommendation? Please check out the 917 Society. That's the numbers, 917society.org. They have the laudable goal of putting a Constitution in the hand of every eighth grader every year. And you can help, whether it's by supporting them financially, or by volunteering, or just by getting them into your school. Help your children learn about the Constitution, what it says, what it means. Check out 917society.org and find out how you can help support America's future.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The invincible American spirit drives the most audacious experiment in the history of self-government. America Out Loud celebrates the American spirit every minute of every day. AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Dr. Vladimir Zelenko knows a thing or two about the immune system. He was nominated for a Nobel Prize for his early COVID-19 treatments, and now he's offering his Z-Stack supplements to our listeners at a discount. Just go to zstacklife.com/freedom. That's zstacklife.com/freedom.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study, and today we're looking at what the priorities are in Washington, D.C. Not what they say they are, not what the promises, the false promises, the propaganda, but based on what they are doing, what are the priorities of the people in Washington, the people we send that are supposedly representing us. Now, in the first half of the program, we took a look at the racist pick for justice of the Supreme Court, the fact that it was actually more important that a candidate be a certain race and certain sex, that was their first priority. We've looked at where Congress is looking to spend money, and we even looked at, well, a senator and a representative and what they think about not just Russia, but their role in getting the president. They want the president to do their work for them. In other words, rather than advise, than the Senate advising the president on a treaty, we have them going, please, Mr. President, go, do something that he has no power to do. So, not surprised. Americans know a little about what the Constitution actually says. But we're not done. See, the federal government is giving out money. Well, that's nothing new. They're giving out money through the Department of Education. Now, this is important. I've said it before. The Department of Education is an illegal department. There is no power delegated to the United States to regulate education. Therefore, it is not a power of the United States. Therefore, it is a usurpation of power. But they're spending money anyway. And they are giving grants. Okay, so what priorities can we deduce by some of these grants? Well, among other things, the Department of Education has awarded $2.5 million in your money to a Florida-based education program that teaches teachers and other professionals in, among other things, to be racist. Oh, sure, they call it critical race theory, but it's still judging people based on the color of their skin. So what are the priorities of Washington, D.C.? Once again, we see racism. To teach teachers to teach our children to judge everything based on race. Somehow, now I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that many of them think that by judging people based on their race, they'll improve the lot of races that have been mistreated in the past. But I think the evidence of history shows quite the opposite. Shows that holding down races, saying that you can't do things unless we help you, is actually damaging to these, to those that they claim to be trying to help. I know they feel like they're doing good. They want to do good. I'm sure they're patting themselves on the back to doing good. But the only way you get rid of racism is stop judging people based on their race. If people, individuals have been disadvantaged, how do we help them? But you see, that's not what critical race theory does, or any of its permutations. Critical race theory teaches people to hate others. It doesn't teach people to treat each other equally. It treats them to either hate themselves or hate others and believe they're owed something because of something that happened to a supposed ancestor in the past, whether it actually happened to their ancestor or not. It is racist, and it is one of the priorities of Washington, D.C., is to promote racism throughout the country. And here we see the Department of Education doing its part, giving out grants to teach teachers how to teach racism in our schools. Now, many may remember back to 2020 and all the illegal shutdowns. That's right, illegal shutdowns, the destruction of our economy. And of course, the federal government came to the rescue with these payment protection program. It's just another word for a bribe. Another excuse to give your money to somebody else to help them from the bad decision that some government had made. Now, in 2020, when Trump was president, we still had a Democrat control in the Congress. They appropriated this money. They decided that they took this money and said, oh, well, all of these cities and states have shut down these businesses, and that's going to make life hard. So we'll give them money. We'll take money from the American people, and we'll give them money. Because the last priority the government has is to actually protect your rights. See, the federal government had wanted to protect the rights of business owners. They would have said, excuse us, states, you don't have the legal authority to shut them. You cannot deprive these people of their property and their liberty without due process of law. But no, they'll hand them money. And now we find out that millions of those forgivable loans, it's funny, they call them loans, but we say, we're going to forgive those loans. We'll give them, we'll loan you the money, but if you do a couple things for us, we won't make you pay it back. And now we find out that millions of dollars in those loans were given not to small businesses that we were told it was there to protect, but went to unions. And it appears, according to some allegations, that they got those loans because of fraudulent loan applications and questionable conduct by some of the applicants or some of the lenders. But what does this tell us about the priorities of Washington? It tells us the priorities of Washington are pay off the people to keep them quiet. And while we're at it, we'll pay off our special interest groups. Now, was that the intention of the PPP loans? Maybe yes, maybe no. I'm not entirely sure. At least I have no proof one way or the other. But what I do see is the federal government bribing the American people for the bad actions of state and local governments. See, in 2020, we didn't have nationwide shutdowns. It wasn't until 2021 that we started seeing these illegal mandates and whatnot coming from the federal government. We saw a couple involving travel, but the actual shutdowns, what the PPP loans were supposed to deal with, is the federal government backing up the bad actions of state and local governments. So what we see as a priority of Washington, D.C. is not to protect the rights of the American people. No, no, no. It's to continue the tyrannical role that government has in all of our lives, to make us all live as subjects of government. Oh, I'm sorry, one of your governments did a bad thing and kept you from working? Well, here's some money. Keep quiet. Don't make a big stink. Don't sue. Don't challenge the law. Here's some money just to keep you quiet and let us keep doing what we're doing. The priority of Washington is not to protect your rights. It's the accumulation of power. And believe it or not, those PPP loans were just another mechanism by which those in Washington found a way to exert power over the American people. How? Well, let's say you're a small business owner and your government denies you your rights. They deprive you of your property you have in your business, of the liberty you have to live your life. And it says, you must shut down. We're not going to let you work. You need government permission to work. You need government permission to operate a business. And we're going to shut you down. Then the federal government comes along and says, well, we'll make it up to you. We'll give you some money to help with the money you've lost. But you're going to have to follow our rules. It's just another way of making the people more dependent on government. More subjects, more serfs of government. So that apparently is a priority, one of the priorities of Washington, D.C. Here's another priority of Washington, D.C., the climate hoax. It is clear by now, it should be clear to any rational thinking person that this climate change theory is a hoax. Yes, climate changes all the time, but none of the predictions that they have promulgated over the last 30, 40 years have come near to coming true. I don't mean they've been off by a little bit. I mean, not even close. But here we have the Biden administration making rules to require companies to produce climate-related disclosure through their filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. See, they want everybody to think that this climate hoax is real. They want everybody to not follow the science, because the science says the scientists don't know what the heck they're talking about. That, well, yes, the world may be getting a little warmer, but then again, we just went through a cooling cycle, so it kind of makes sense it would get warmer. And, by the way, warmer actually means more arable land, more places to grow food, and all these other things. That more people die from cold than from heat. We ignore all that. Rather than having companies do what makes sense for them in their business, no, you have government saying, we get to tell you how to live your life. We get to tell you, you want to be a business? You're going to have to meet certain climate-related disclosures. You're going to have to tell us what you're doing to promote our agenda that we call climate change. Now, again, let's not take what they say, let's take what they do. What is the purpose of climate change? The purpose of climate change is to deprive you of your money, to deprive you of your freedom, to get the government to tell you how to live your life in a way they think is best. You don't believe me? Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg says, listen, gas prices are too high. Fine, buy an electric car. That's his answer to the price of fuel nowadays. Instead of spending $4 or $5 a gallon for gasoline, spend $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 to buy an electric vehicle. Oh, by the way, if you don't happen to live where you can do all of your travel within the operable range of a electric vehicle, too bad. Why? So we can save the climate. Oh, I see. This is more about climate change. Of course, they completely ignore the fact that electricity, pardon the pun, doesn't grow on trees. So where do we get electricity? Well, we can get it from wind and solar, except that's a very small percentage of the actual power in this country. And for every kilowatt, for every megawatt of wind and solar, there has to be a backup megawatt of fossil fuel. Yeah, they don't tell you that. All those solar panels you see, all the wind farms you see, they've failed to tell you that there's another huge, generally a fossil fuel-based production plant standing by for when the clouds come out or when the wind stops blowing. So it's another scam. See, rather than dealing with the problem of, hey, oil prices are high, gas prices are high, inflation and the Russians and our own energy policy have led to very high gas prices. No, we'll use this as a way to nudge you into what they think is your best answer. Electric vehicles. So what do we see? We see the Biden administration, either through regulation saying, this is the information corporations must provide, or a Secretary of Transportation saying, you know what? Gas prices are high are a good thing. That'll get people to buy electric vehicles. They also seem to forget that most of those electric vehicles that you buy that cost so much money, because last time I checked, you paid a premium to get an electric vehicle. It costs more than a gas-powered vehicle, even after it is subsidized by the American taxpayer. Yeah, you see, last month, the Biden administration announced they were, quote-unquote, investing $5 billion to create a nationwide electric vehicle charging network. Let's forget the fact the Constitution doesn't authorize the federal government to do that. Let's forget the fact that it doesn't authorize Congress to collect tax money to do that. Let's just ignore the Constitution altogether, because these people in Washington think they know better than you do, and they want you to drive electric cars, whether they make sense or not. That's the priority of Washington, D.C. It's not to protect your rights to be at freedom, to live your life the way you see fit. No. It's to limit your choices. Limit your choices to things they find acceptable. You remember when the Prime Minister of Canada said that the truckers had unacceptable ideas? Same thing here. This is just Washington, D.C. saying, you know what? We want to wean you off of gasoline. Not because the other technologies are better, but either because of their own foolishness or some other agenda, they want you to adopt a technology that isn't ready yet. Now, electric vehicles have some very interesting places. If you live in an urban area, electric vehicles make a lot more sense because you're closer to the charging point. You're driving less distance. Sure, electric vehicles have tremendous amounts of torque. That's wonderful. But what about people who don't live in where the range is acceptable? Where, you know, I travel across the country to do my events. Electric vehicle doesn't cut it. It doesn't have the range. I can't drive 300, 400, 500 miles a day and then expect to know where I can charge things up. Oh, the government will spend your money to do that. No, they're going to extort your money They're going to embezzle that money to invest in something because they think it's better. I have a much better idea. How about we simply let these companies come up with more efficient electric vehicles? Get the federal government out of the way. Get them away from picking winners and losers. Let the people figure out what is best for them. Nope, we don't want to do that. The priority of the federal government is not to let the people figure it out for themselves. It's not for them to allow them to try different technologies and let the best one win. No, it's to pick a winner and promote it and, in effect, price every competition out of the market. That's a priority of Washington, D.C. It's not to promote your rights, to protect your rights, but to infringe on your rights to promote their own agenda. And speaking of infringing on your rights to promote their own agenda, there's an obvious priority of those in Washington, D.C. That's protecting their own backsides. See, Representative Ayanna Pressley, who has been an adamant promoter of defunding the police. I'm taking her own word. She wants to defund the police. She is one of a group of legislators that believe that the police are racist, dangerous, they're no good, you shouldn't have them. We want to get rid of them, or at least really, really modify them. She spent thousands and thousands and thousands of your dollars on her own private security. Now, I don't begrudge, well, let me put it this way. I understand the need for security. And I don't begrudge people having private security. President has public security, but I don't begrudge people who wish to have their own private security. But for someone in public office, someone who's supposedly a representative of the people, to say we must defund the security apparatus for the average everyday person, but have them spend thousands of dollars to protect them, to have the American people spend thousands of dollars to protect them, while she is trying to take away money from protecting the American people, I think that's called hypocrisy. In fact, I know that's called hypocrisy. Doesn't surprise you one little bit. You see, Ayanna Pressley and all of the other people who are promoting this concept of defund the police are also the same ones that want protection for themselves. See, I may disagree with Ms. Pressley about the value of police, but I would at least believe her more if she didn't spend the taxpayers' money to get private security. See, this is an attitude that says she's special. Therefore, she needs security, but everyone else just, you know, deal without. She can have on-call security, but when you pick up the phone and dial 911 only to find out that there's not a law officer available, let them eat cake? And tell me if I'm wrong, but isn't Ayanna Pressley one of the people that don't believe you have a right to protect yourself with a handgun, with a gun? See, this is a priority of Washington, D.C. They want to protect their backsides while preventing you from protecting yours. This is nothing new. This has been going on in tyrannical governments since we've had government. But it shows, again, the priority of many in Washington, D.C. The priorities of D.C. as a whole is to make sure they have theirs while at the same time they're denying you yours. It's true for security. It's true for protecting borders. It's true for the ability to do your job. It's true of control of your money. If we look at all of these news items, So many of them involve the idea that they know better than you do, that they should be able to have theirs, while they deny you the right to have yours. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound terribly representative, does it? But we've told these people, we've told them for decades, if you wish to keep your job, just, you know, bribe us with some goodies and we'll let you get away with most anything until you really do something bad. Now, why have I taken this time to focus on the priorities of Washington, D.C.? Because more and more, Washington, D.C. runs our lives. More and more, Washington has assumed powers not delegated to it. Assume authority to regulate things we did not grant to them. Assumed powers that are unjust. And we've let them do it. We've allowed them to accumulate this power, which naturally attracts people that want power. And it is a sad fact of human existence that those people who want power are rarely the people that want what is best for others. They are self-interested. And we've seen that. Not just in the articles I've covered today, but we've seen that to be true from at least as long as I can remember. So when we look to Washington, D.C. to protect us, when we look to places like the CDC and the FDA to make sure our drugs are safe, or to the Department of Labor or OSHA to keep us safe at work, or the EPA to protect us from environmental bad actors, or Department of Transportation to protect our roads, or Department of Education to help with our education, understand, while there are those in those agencies that do have altruistic means, for the most part, their goal is not to protect you or to protect your rights. Is to provide for themselves. That doesn't make them bad people. It doesn't make them evil people. It makes them human. And just because someone gets a government paycheck doesn't make them saintly or perfect. It still means they're human. And there will be good humans trying to do the best they can within the system. There'll be not so good humans that are trying to use the system to provide for themselves, and there'll be evil humans that are using that system to corrupt and hurt others. That's why our founding fathers created a system where power was dispersed, where the people created state governments and the states created the central government, and in all cases, those powers were limited. Their just powers come from our consent. We consent in the Constitution. The Constitution is how we consent to those powers. And the fact that we haven't enforced that is a large reason why we are in the mess that we're in. Now, that is bad news, but it's also good news, because if we help break it, we can help fix it. How do we do that? We do that by looking at those in Washington, D.C. as our employees. Our representatives, our senators, the judges that get hired, all the bureaucrats that get hired, they are our employees. They work for us. And in Washington, D.C., they have a very simple employee manual. It's called the Constitution of the United States. It's only 8,000 words long, only takes about 30 minutes to read. So as we look on into 2022, we know we have an election coming up. The entire House of Representatives, a third of the Senate, will be up for a job review. We must ask ourselves, how are our employees doing? Are they following that employee manual that they took an oath to defend? Did they swear or affirm that they would defend? Are they doing a good job of that or not? You see, the narcissists in Washington, D.C. maintain their power because the narcissists throughout the rest of the country look only at what goodies they're going to get. As James Garfield said, now more than ever, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. You look at Congress, they're your fault. Mr. Garfield said, if that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it's because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. If it be intelligent, brave, and pure, it's because the people demand these high qualities for those who represent them in the national legislature. So ask yourself, look at your representative, look at what their priorities are. Are those men and women intelligent, brave, and pure? Or are they ignorant, recklessness, and corrupt? So I go back to the quote we started with, the question I asked, how can you tell when a politician is lying? If the answer when it comes to your representative is their lips are moving, then you have a serious decision to make. Will you tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption? Or will you demand intelligence, bravery, and purity? The choice is yours. I can't make it for you. But you and your family and your children will live with the consequences of that decision. And if that isn't enough to get you to take a more serious look at how you choose your elected representative, I don't know what will. So before I go, I want to remind you that all of my shows go to podcasts about a day or two after they're heard on the radio. You can hear them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, and iHeart Podcast, basically anywhere you listen to your podcast. Now do me a favor, go to Apple Podcasts, subscribe, leave a rating and a review, help others find the Constitution Study, help others join us as we secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity.
Paid the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.